Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, it's been a minute. Did not end up recording in the blank week. What did you do with your extra spare time?
I dwelled on the fact that we said we were going to do a podcast and we didn't.
To be fair, this time we said we might.
We might, yeah. It wasn't. We weren't firm with it. We basically gave a maybe to the RSVP of the FPL Roundtable. So anybody who is joining us, thank you for joining us again or rejoining us and waiting that whole 2 weeks. If you're sitting by your, you know, your wherever you get your podcasts from for the whole 2 weeks, you need to do something else with yourself.
Just refreshing.
Yeah, just keep I know they're coming. I need it. All my peanut butter and all the cans are already alphabetized in my closet. I need something else to do.
Also, to be fair, if people are that obsessed with the show, they know that we pretty much just lie about that constantly. We always think we're going to record in the off week. And then it's like, oh, wait, nah.
You know, the funny thing is people who don't know us don't realize that me and you actually have lives.
Oh, that's true. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. It's kind of that teacher syndrome that kids have. Mm-hmm. Where it's hard for them to imagine them being anywhere but at school. So like you have like a passive thought that they just live at the school. Yeah. You're like, wait, of course they don't. But like it kind of has that feel. Like we only exist inside people's phones.
Why is Mr. Stevens at happy hour? Mr. Stevens is cool.
This isn't sociology. What's happening? Cool. Yeah, I also enjoyed my time off, but now we are back uninjured, unlike the majority of players who during the international break picked up knocks. We're going to go through each of them, tell you who's been injured, and talk to you in a little kind of injury edition of either or about their potential replacements. So here we go.
We need like an SVU sound after that. An injury replacement. Boom, boom.
Produced by executive director Dick Wolf. Yeah. Okay, we'll start with the big one. News came out today. Sadio Mane, likely to be out up to 6 weeks. Saw the stat earlier today. He's only played 8 matches for Liverpool in 2017 due to suspensions, international duty at AFCON, and injury. Not so great. I think this is also the most interesting one because it could go a lot of different directions. Would you rather have Daniel Sturridge or Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I mean, when you're looking at it, I mean, the direct, you know, I know you're taking it down a segment, but I guess you're figuring that people already own a Salah or a Coutinho already. Mm. So I'm taking that in consideration while answering this. I mean, Coutinho would be the guy if you don't own him already. Mane at 9.4, owned in 10.9% of league. Coutinho at 9.0, just went up 8.9% owned. Yeah, I mean, there's no real good answer here. Oxlade-Chamberlain has not shown out well at all for a fantasy perspective and in a real-life perspective for Liverpool. I don't think there's any way you could trust him to bring him in. Daniel Sturridge is an interesting case. He shows flashes, and then he gets injured. The only problem is that he's at a completely different position and at 8.0. Yikes. There's usable options at 8.0. I mean, he could spend that extra half a dollar and go get Jamie Vardy. Yeah. So, I mean, there is that. But, you know, if I had a gun to my head, I'd probably take the punt on Chamberlain and hope that he's your fifth midfielder and you were just rolling in the money and punting at two defenders and you never have to play him. But there's no replacing Sadio Mane at the 9.4 with a direct, you know, like a direct punt down to Chamberlain. Mm. In real life, it's going to be Sturridge. In fantasy, there's no real option that's going to be there. I think this boosts the Coutinho ownership, and I think that people are going to be living high on the Salah for a while because I think that's where they're going to go. I don't think they're going to look there this week, you know, with Liverpool hosting United this week, and United has the best defense in the Premier. So, I mean, this game for Liverpool does look a little choppy because they're losing basically, you know, one of their main sales. Yeah. So, but there's no replacing. If you own Mane on your fantasy team, you're not punting down to a direct replacement on Liverpool with a Chamberlain or a Sturridge. You're basically looking at Salah or Coutinho. So I know you want a Chamberlain or Sturridge, but there's those are just bad answers.
Well, yeah, the options that I'm going to be listing are players that will directly take that spot.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. On to Arsenal. They lose Skrodan Mustafi. He gets injured off on duty with Germany. Two options. Has already gotten a few minutes this year. I think he started the last match. You have Rob Holding, who got his chance last season, or Mertesacker, who has not yet played in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, I think if you're going into this, and I want to extrapolate on this more, there is unfulfilled information that we're getting that Kolizanak is also injured, as he got injured in the Bosnia-Herzegovina game, came off in the 46th minute. So this also has something to do with Mustafi as well, because if they lose both of their defenders there, it's basically an all men on ship here, because then they only really have four healthy defenders, Bellerin and Monreal, and then Holding, and maybe Mertesacker, and maybe a half of Koscielny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically everyone that's listed on the defensive chart for Arsenal in the official game is going to be thrown into action here. So basically, I'm going with the cheapest entry point. If you want to always, maximize on that potential, then 4.7 Rob Holding is my choice here. You know, Arsenal does, they're at Watford, at Everton, and then home to Swansea. So they're not awful fixtures. I mean, I don't know how long any of these people are going to be out, because it's not really been speculated yet, but
yeah, because a lot of them haven't returned to their clubs, in case you're wondering why we aren't telling you a lot of these return times.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Rob Holding at 4.7. That'd be my choice out of the ones listed.
Cool. Since we're kind of expanding on this to include Kolisinac, is this a situation where, even though they were starting to have an upwards trajectory, that without these players, it's not worth having an Arsenal defender because they will likely be less good without some of their better players?
Well, I think they were playing better as a unit. I think that the Kolisinac, Bellerin, Monreal trio was playing well enough together that you didn't have to worry about the fourth member. It didn't matter. Those three were pretty much, staple items for the Gunners. But, losing two of those, two of the guys that are possibly, in the rotation for usual starts there, it's tough. I'd probably look away. The only person I think I might trust is Monreal now. Bellerin for me is way too high priced at 5.9. I wouldn't own Mustafi anywhere. Koscielny is, injured as he is right now. And he's 6.0. So, I mean, if you're looking for an Arsenal punt and you need to move money around, Rob Holding looks like a good get right now at 4.7.
Yeah, he should be one that people keep an eye on. Again, kept four clean sheets in their last, I think it was 7 or 8 matches last season when he came into the team. So, yeah, definitely a guy worth keeping an eye on. Now we're going to go over to Southampton. This may seem less important, but the guy that got hurt was never really fantasy relevant. His replacements could be. Would you rather have Charlie Austin or the great Gabagoo?
Oof. I mean, it's such an awkward situation there. Everything I read about Southampton, I know you're talking about Chain Long here, correct? Being injured?
Yes, indeed.
But, the great Gabagoo has done basically nothing this year in the minutes that he's done. He's got one goal scored in just over 400 minutes, I believe.
Yeah, it's real bad.
So, I mean, he hasn't scored over 7 points in a match. Listen, Charlie Austin is not the prototypical, $6 million man striker anymore. But when he's on the pitch, he does things because he's a presence, but he's not, full fitness Charlie Austin anymore. So, I mean, this is not a situation anybody's going to be looking at. And I know Shane Long has gotten the previous couple starts there, and he's gone, big minutes, 90, 82, 90 in the last two or three, and with an assist, which is rare for a Southampton team that just doesn't score. I'd probably go get, I think Gabbiadini gets the bulk of the minutes, and I think Austin is that stretch guy, or if they're behind in games, he comes in and gives you 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah, and that'll be really annoying because Austin may do just as much with his fewer minutes than Gabbiadini, but it's just so hard to own players that are coming off the bench.
Impossible.
Yeah. for the Netherlands, they lose Davy Proper. Potential replacements being Izzy Brown, who obviously had a great season in the championship last year, and Izquierdo, who I think is their highest transfer from the summer. any interest in either of these guys, or are you just kind of avoiding the Brighton attack?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you know, glimpses of both of those players. Izzy Brown came into a game and he showed a little bit of skill, but nothing that you're going to be, you know, ooh, I got to get this guy at 5.3. Both guys currently owned in 0.0% of leagues. So the Izzy Brown and Izquierdo families do not play FPL. Interestingly enough, Izquierdo means left. So we're going to leave him out of this whole conversation.
Fair enough. On to Manchester United. Fellaini dealing with a cruciate ligament issue. Seems like because usually when you hear about cruciate ligaments, it's a year, basically. Sounds mm-hmm. like this is just a strain, though. We do know that we're expecting about a month out for Fellaini, which opens up some really interesting choices in terms of who will go forward. I think the obvious pairing will be Herrera and Matic. Who do you mm-hmm. think would be more fantasy relevant in that pairing?
I think it's Herrera. I think Herrera has an opportunity now to monopolize on the preseason hype that he was getting. You know, Josie fell in love with Fellaini playing, and he basically just took Herrera's spot, and then they signed Matic, and it basically just wiped him off the fantasy map. At 5.2, Herrera could be a cheap entry point into the United lineup. At 1.6% ownership, he's basically just a little bit more expensive than Fellaini, who was at 4.9. It's tough news for Fellaini. He was just starting to get into the thick of things with the United, you know, attack, and is a bargain at 4.9. But I think Herrera can do enough, you know, auxiliary and tertiary things for United to make him not a complete punt, but not a complete, you know, asset. So he's somewhere in between. You know what he is? He's basically the Decore of United right now. That's how I would, you know, his price is a punt, but he's giving you returns at, you know, at a discount. So that's how I would label it. But it'd be Herrera there for me.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in his official game performance last season just because he didn't create loads of chances. But if you're in a draft-style league or if you're thinking of DFS, Herrera becomes a really interesting guy really quickly because he finished in the top five of both tackles and interceptions last season. To Stoke, Joe Allen's out. Looked like I think it was a concussion that he suffered. Got taken off at... what was that? Oh, Ireland, Wales. Man, really, really struggled there. The interesting thing here is Stoke don't really have a good option at his position. They can move Jeff Cameron up to the midfield, or they could try to bring Charlie Adam. Charlie Adam back in. I don't know about that. But if Jeff Cameron moved into the midfield, he's currently listed as a defender. He'd be one of the first OOP guys this season. Does that bring any interest to you, the fact that he could get clean sheet points as well as playing further up the pitch, much like Eric Dyer 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about Stoke is they have guys that they can shift around to fill in Allen's spot. You know, it's just a matter of them, you know, questioning if they're going to reposition or reform their midfield. You know, I Fletcher and Choupo-Moting are pretty much knocked on. Shaqiri as well. You know, it brings up my preseason love for Ramadan Sobhi. I mean, if he could scratch out a place in this squad and actually adjust his game to fit into where Stoke need him to be more of a, you know, a facilitator player than a wide player.
If they could move him centrally, because that's the issue, that he looked on lock to get that left wing job, but then they signed Hesse.
Yeah, so. I think that if it's probably going to be a Charlie Adam play to start, and then when Stoke need the offense, I think Sobhi is the play to get in there. You know, same thing for Ibrahim Afellay. I think that if he wasn't such a wide player and he could, you know, if Stoke could, you know, go mold their midfield into something that he could, you know, basically adjust himself to, he could find a spot in there as well. I mean, Joe Allen's not going to be out for 100 years here. He's only got a concussion. So we're basically only talking about maybe 1 or 2 weeks. But, you know, for like a long shot play and maybe like a DFS play, you're basically looking at, like, you know, if you basically pay attention to the lineups as always. But, you know, if Sobhi, Adam, or Afellay are in there, you know, their prices are going to be minimal, probably, you know, anywhere between 3,000 and 3,500 for a Stoke team facing Man City, which is not a comfortable thing there. But, you know, as a differential, they could have some goods there.
Yeah. Bournemouth, have not been the fantasy asset many would like, except for Charlie Daniels. Basically, everybody else has been iffy. I've had that couple of matches where he looked really good. So for them, this could go a lot of different ways, kind of like the Liverpool one. Defoe is already playing, so he's not really a replacement, but it could go Afobe, Stanislas, or finally give Ibe a full-time starting spot. Which of them would you prefer out of that? Oh man, what's a group of cherries called? Like a cluster? Oh, that would have been so good if I had actually known that.
A bunch of cherries?
Yeah.
A bag of cherries? I don't know.
A head of cherries?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Afobe. Afobe did score for their youth team, I believe, on the break. I think he scored for their under 21s or 23s or whatever it was. But I think it'll be Afobe if King is injured and does miss some time. Like you said, Defoe is already in there, not doing much, but he's in there. They could completely shift around, and we've liked what we've seen from Jordan Ibe. At 4.9, he could be the guy. He just qualifies as a midfielder. So if you're kind of robbing Peter to pay the midfielder Paul, you can't really do that with Josh King. But, you know, I'm just saying that Jordan Ibe is probably the guy who would see the most beneficial minutes. But I think Afobe is the direct replacement for King there.
Interesting. We already discussed Kolasinac. Basically, if there's an Arsenal player that's fit, feel free to move to him. Then wrapping up with Chelsea, N'Golo Kante looks like he'll be out for some time. Fabregas seems the obvious. He's the one that fantasy players would like to win that job because of how impactful he can be. But you also have Bakayoko, you spent a lot of money on in the summer. Who do you think gets more minutes there?
I think Fabregas plays and Bakayoko does as well. I think that Willian is the piece that's out here with Hazard coming back in. I think Pedro will play up top, probably with Murata missing some time, with Batshuayi playing some time as well. But I think Bakayoko can just slot right into a N'Golo Kante spot and play in front of that. Or Chelsea can keep Christensen in the lineup and have David Luiz, who is now returned, play in that defensive midfielder role, which he's done before. So, I mean, there's options there. And Luiz could be an OOP player just like Jeff Cameron is, because he has played that position before. Yeah. He's played that position for PSG. So, I mean, there's options there. The one thing about Chelsea is they do have a lot of pedigree players that are on the bench. You know, they have Rudiger, who really hasn't cut his teeth very well. They have Zappacosta, who's in there. He's more of a wide player, but if they wanted to go more offensive, they could do Zappacosta in there. But I think it'll probably be either Rudiger or Christensen being either slotted in to solidify the back three, and then maybe Luiz moving up or Bakayoko moving up, depending on who Conte has more trust in. Plus, they also play midweek again, so that's another thing with the Champions League games next week. So they have to think about that coming up, because they have to worry about fitness and getting everybody in back from interval for break, and you know, having them, you know, minutes monitored, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah. People should definitely keep an eye out on that. Also, just a heads up for people, the European qualifiers, which is obviously the majority of the Premier League players are in, the teams that are going to have to be playing in the playoffs, which is, I think, November 6th and 14th, are Croatia, Denmark, Greece, Italy, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, Sweden, and Switzerland. So obviously everybody will do the international break again one more time there in November, but those are the teams. So if you have players that are those nationalities, obviously you're going to know to keep a closer eye on them because of the amount of injuries we've seen this window, just because, you know, obviously the ones in less meaningful matches you'd hope would be at less risk of being risked.
Yeah. So now that we're done with injured players, can we actually get to some players who are not injured, maybe just for some like either ors, maybe some just FPM knowledge or what?
Yeah, I mean, we could do non-international related either ors.
Yeah, because let's talk about the guys who are like actually fit and walking without walking boots.
Oh, what sense does that make?
It totally makes sense, dude. That's why you have podcasts. Talk about fantasy. It's funny. Kevin usually comes up all the questions and I talk for like 10 hours, but I told Kevin, I did my homework today. My goat didn't eat it. So I actually have questions for Kevin.
Rob does have a real goat. That's true.
Can't confirm. Yeah, I got fresh cheese.
I thought Rob was the goat. Oh,
I am. But I formed some good questions for you, Kev. I actually have a goalie question here. So if we do either ors, you know, position, pick one. So at the back, Joe Hart or Elliot from Newcastle. Joe Hart has fixtures at Burnley, home to Brighton, and then at Crystal Palace. And then Elliot has home away at Southampton, home to Palace, and then away to Burnley. Which goalkeeper do you like for the next three?
Elliot, because he's cheaper.
Is he that? But
yes.
But I understand it's a cheapness factor. But Joe Hart being 4.5, West Ham having clean sheets in three of their last four.
Mm-hmm.
Does not sway you a little bit that West Ham's starting to come around a little bit with their defensive prowess?
I know
he's still Joe Hart. I know he's still Joe Hart.
I'm going to be honest. Not making me come around enough. Just trying to pull up saves right now. I don't even see Joe Hart. Man, Joe Hart is definitely outside the top 10, probably outside the top 15 without me stopping to actually count.
Defense is so good he doesn't even have to do anything.
That is an interpretation. I'd probably go with Elliot still there. For cheapness. And he doesn't have bad matchups either.
Yeah, they're both phenomenal matchups. I rate them probably about the same, you know, as opponent wise, because they basically have play the same, almost the same three teams.
Mm.
You know, two out of the three of this are similar, so that's why I was saying that they're, you know, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and also worth noting that England looked much better with Butland in net. There were multiple times, especially the back pass. I forget who mm-hmm. did it. Where if it had been Hart, it's very easy to imagine that being a goal.
Yeah. So we know that everybody likes to have three players from the dominant fantasy teams, mm-hmm. you know, three Spurs, three Man City players. Who are your three Man City players right now?
Well, first of all, Aguero back in light training today, which is kind of crazy pants. That does not mean he's back this weekend, by the way. Saw some people already jumping on that train.
I don't think he is.
Settle
either.
Down. Yeah, nor do I. Think it'll probably be 2 weeks, really, before mm-hmm. we see him back, which unfortunately causes Jesus issues, unless you think that they're just going to be a duo again, in which case feel free. Seems like Sterling has locked in a spot. David Silva has locked in a spot. And you can trust City defenders now. They're level with Manchester United as the best defense in the Premier League right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stones is probably over-owned. I haven't looked at it, obviously, because I didn't know we were going to be talking about this, but I feel like Stones is probably over-owned, but maybe a sneaky Otamendi. Mm-hmm. I know Delph isn't listed at the right position, unfortunately. If mm-hmm. he was like Ashley Young and Antonio Valencia, he could have a lot of upside, but maybe that's why Stones is owned that highly. Is because
Delph is listed as a midfielder, just like Ashley Young is still listed as a midfielder.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I spend too much time looking at goal stuff.
And John Stones is owned at 8% of leagues.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Kyle Walker, 14%. Otamendi, 14.8%.
Oh, dang. Yeah, the Stones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so Stones, Jesus, and
Stones, Sterling, and Silva.
Sterns, okay.
And so, then it changes back to Aguero when he's back. I don't know. I just have this trigger shy thing with Jesus.
That Jesus? Yeah, I can see it. It's the conundrum for me is that second midfielder. I'm eliminating Kevin De Bruyne out of the equation because I think I'd rather gamble on a Hazard or Alexis being themselves
mm-hmm.
in the upcoming games. Silva for me is automatic. I think he's the one. He's the first City player I think I put in there. I think a City defender is important. Going with Jesus is not really that important because I think people can shift back to Aguero as when he's back, and I think Kane and Lukaku are probably neutralizing that effect.
Yeah. Quick thing on De Bruyne. I have not been high on him this year, but his stats are quickly creeping back to best in the league categories. Currently leads the league in chances created and accurate crosses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know he already has a goal and three assists in the last five, but he may have not fully caught up with what his form implies yet. So he could have a couple big matches. But as you say, at his price, I just feel like you can get it elsewhere.
And he was rested for 70 minutes today, came in for Hazard in the 70th minute. So there is that as well. So the City conundrum for me is that third player, I think you definitely go defender. I think you have Silva as your second or first, whoever you want to go. And then the question for me is, you know, the Leroy Sané or, you know, Raheem Sterling.
I like Sterling more. I mean, that's the only way I can play this just because of how temperamental he can be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Sané is more of the – for Pep, I think is more of the Champions League play, especially when they have the Champions League games around the game, around the fixtures like this week that we're seeing. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for now, I'd say Sterling is your – but I have Jesus currently in my squad, so he's my third. Mm. But if I didn't, I'd probably be looking at a Raheem.
Did you bring in Jesus with the Aguero news?
No, I brought Jesus in when Morata went down last weekend, okay. 2 weekends ago. As soon as Morata went out, I did it that day.
Yeah.
So, okay, I got another one. Mm-hmm. With Hazard being basically back, Chelsea having some good fixtures upcoming, and Alexis basically being back in appearance, I'm saying that they're basically on the sheet. We know they're going to probably play unless Alexis gets injured tonight in the Chile games. But who are you going with on your team? You have the unlimited funds to pick up either or, Kevin. Going with the Chelsea guy or the Arsenal guy?
I'm going with Alexis. this is just an insane thing. I was looking at key passes earlier. Do you know Alexis Sanchez has the most key passes in the Premier League right now? Despite the fact that he didn't even start, what was it, the first four matches of the season, I think?
Yeah, I think he played like 3.5 full games.
Yeah, that's just absolutely bonkers that he's already leading the league. So yeah, I'm leading Alexis. It's not to say that Hazard won't have his moments throughout the season, but we've seen over the last few years, Hazard is not a set-and-forget kind of player. Alexis is.
Yeah,
And the fact that he's already showing like this and a statistic like this is just like further proof of like, as soon as he's playing, he's back. Like, we've seen this even when he's been dealing with injuries, which hopefully he doesn't get tonight, as you said. but, you know, anytime it's 50-50 if he'll play, he plays. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't play worse. If he plays at all, he plays well. I just love that about Alexis, so I'd have to go with him. Obviously, price is a factor. If you can't climb all the way up to Alexis, maybe do the Hazard thing, but like currently right now, I still have Mkhitaryan in my team, and I'll talk about him a little bit later. But if it wasn't worth it to me to shift off just to Hazard, I'd rather wait than shift up to Alexis. Personally.
My interpretation of this is if you can't afford an Alexis, you drive a Toyota, which is Eden Hazard, because essentially they're the same car.
Yeah,
just one's more expensive. Okay, I got one more for you. Last one. This one's kind of a future. This is into the future, Kevin. We don't really always look down the road a little bit. You know, there is an international break in 1 month from now. But the schedule starts to get interesting around week 13 of the season. There are games week 13 on the weekend. Then there are games Tuesday, Wednesday for week 14. And then there's another set on week 15 on the weekend again.
Mm-hmm.
At what point are you advising fantasy owners to look at those three games to start setting up yourself for that roster? I know it's not this week. I'm just telling people, you know, there is an international break in between. But looking down the road a little bit, you know, say if you still have that wild card in your pocket, or, you know, you're staring at your crisps and you're like, oh, those three games in a row could be crucial. When are you advising fantasy owners to, you know, to give a little eye down the road to set themselves up?
Well, I feel like you bringing it up now is a pretty good hint that people should start at least thinking about it. More than in previous seasons, I've been trying to plan out my future moves. I know it's been very tough this year because of how many injuries the high profile players, have happened and how initially disappointing a lot of big name players were. Which has made it more difficult. When we get to that stretch is where you deal with things, like when you have double game weeks, which everybody inherently is very excited for, except sometimes it can cause rotation. Sometimes you see injuries because players are played too much over those quick stretches. But yeah, I'd say, you know, in the next couple of weeks, start looking down the road, especially it's obviously easier to start with your team, right? It's a much smaller data set. Because you just have your guys. Look at where those fixtures line up. Specifically, I'd recommend looking at your defensive shifts and just make sure you have at least three defenders with decent matchups every week. And if you don't, start looking at teams that do partner well with the players you expect to want to keep by then. That's really the main one because I'm sure people listening to this have heard us say it before. With the blue chip guys, even in bad matchups, you're typically starting them anyway. Matchups really only decide your fourth midfielder or your third forward. So the defense is really where I think your focus should go. So if you're looking ahead and you see, like, some weeks you only have two defenders with good matchups, or some weeks you only have one, that's when you really should think about maybe switching out players with long-term benefits. And you can do it, and I think this is why you bring it up, you can do it before you get there to make sure you're okay when that starts, instead of always having to be reactionary, which forces your moves, which in the long term costs you money. It costs you those point ones all over the place, because if you're a week late on a player, it's already gone up. It just allows you to be a little more proactive than reactive, which is obviously of benefit.
Yeah. I think the best time to look at this is that week of the international, the next international break, because they're done then after that for basically a little while. So you can set yourself up with that roster. And I think you're bringing up the start in the back of your team, because most of your fantasy assets are staple guys that you're never going to bench through the midfield and through the forward. You're basically going to have, you know, six key items there. You're going to have the David Silvas, you're going to have the Eriksons, you're going to have the Mkhitaryans. You know, you're going to have the guys who are fantasy studs in the midfield and the forwards. Those guys probably won't change. It's the guys on the ancillary, on defense, and your fourth midfielder, your third forward, that are the guys that you need to figure out in that stretch of games, week 13, 14, and 15, that will rotate well enough that you can position yourself and line themselves up to better, you know, coordinate your lineup, especially with your third and fourth defenders. Yeah. I wouldn't so much worry about a fifth defender there, because if you get to a fifth defender there, then somebody is hurt and you probably deserve to have a fifth defender that is useless, because you basically have stolen the money from there to augment your offensive parts. Mm. So basically you just need, you know, three pieces, four maybe, to line up correctly. Your third and fourth defender, your fifth midfielder, or your fourth midfielder, and your third striker.
Yep.
Those are the only guys that you really need to attack. So after the international break in November, there are 3 weeks to set yourself up for that three-week period. Plus, you get a free transfer every one of those weeks. So you basically get four transfers after that first, you know, come counting that first week of games where it's quick return, quick return, quick return. So you can basically have four transfers to set yourself up for those last two games. So basically, if somebody gets hurt, you're basically lining your pieces up.
Mm.
But it's always good to look forward. We always like it, and we'll be doing this there too. I hope so.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our starts and sits.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we did it. We're back. Yay. We made it through the break. Hopefully you made it through the break. Hopefully there was an ad break in there. If not, you just randomly heard a pause and then us talking again. We will move into our starts and sits now, though. For me, up front, this is super uninventive. But have you heard of Sir Harold of Kane?
Mm-mm.
He's this guy. I think he's, what is he, Welsh? English? English. I think he's English. he's very expensive. I realize that. But with Aguero and Morata both out and Kane just scoring all the goals he'd like, he seems a very obvious choice. If he isn't an obvious choice for you, it's worth noting, leads the league in goals and shots on target over the last five matches. And his shot accuracy is outside the top five, which sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing because he has the best shot accuracy percentage over the last three seasons, which is when he's been actually playing. And so you would assume that over time that will come back to neutral, which means even though he has been scoring braces left and right, he still has a few goals to go before catching up with his career average. Also, I know you weren't really that high on the Sturridge train. Is currently top five in shots on target over the last five matches, playing considerably fewer minutes than those ahead of him. Obviously, Manchester United, not the week to do it, but I do think he'll get the start up front. I think it'll be important to watch that match. I mean, A, it's a pretty, you know, blue chippy match, but keep an eye on Sturridge. If he impresses in this one against the defense like Manchester United's, could be promising looking forward to the coming weeks after that. In midfield, he was my guy last week. Jerdan Shaqiri got the assist, but should be in line to get both more goals and assists, as he's the only player in the top 10 of both shots on target and chances created, which is what people think Mkhitaryan is. And to be fair, that's how Mkhitaryan started the year. But now it's all on Shaqiri. Unfortunately, he does have a little bit of that like Redmonditis, where it doesn't matter sometimes how good he is if nobody's putting the ball in the net. But
like a
that's
tree,
why
tree falling in the woods
does it count as a chance created? but as I said, it is also shots on target, so it's just as likely that he'll just score those goals as him setting them up for other people. If you're scared of the City defense, which you have every right to be, as we were talking earlier, level with Manchester United as the best defense in the Premier League right now, that's fine. After the City match, they won't face a top 10 defense for the next five matches. So again, if you want to use this as a barometer week, that's fine. I'm buying in now. While he's 5.9, I assume he will be 6.0 by the next time you hear from us. in defense, usually I just rattle off teams, steal Rob's guys, and then move on with my life. But this week I wanted to get a little into it because I came across an interesting statistic while looking at those key passes I mentioned earlier. on the whole, we did a big episode where we talked about Burnley on the last episode of the EPL Roundtable, so check that out if it interests you on the whole. Here specifically, I'm going to talk about fantasy super stud Steven Ward. What? A lot of people may be saying. It's because of key passes, though. Here we go. So leading the league in key passes, in order. Alexis, Aguero, Kevin De Bruyne, Steven Ward, Tadic, Sigurdsson, Eriksen, Dele Alli, Baines, and Bellerin. So, you know, all those names around Ward before you get to that Baines and Bellerin part are all strikers or creative midfielders. And Steven Ward is just hanging out there with that many key passes, which is nuts. Burnley, three clean sheets in the last five, which has been even more impressive because it's been since Pope came in. Got himself a nice contract, by the way, so congratulations to him. I assume they released white smoke when they gave him the contract. Not sure how many people got that joke, but I hope they liked it. and he's only owned around 8%, which is crazy low, especially considering how favorable Burnley's schedule is. Because one of the reasons they're so of note lately is they've already played Chelsea. They've already played Tottenham. They've already played Liverpool. I think they have City in 2 or 3 weeks. But other than that, it is pretty much clear sailing until around Christmas when they have Tottenham and Manchester United back-to-back. So even though Ward is all the way up here, that it feels kind of outliery, but he did it against tougher teams than the ones he's about to face. So I'm fully on board with Steven Ward at just 4.6. Already has a little blue fancy star next to his name. Think he's a person that a lot of people need to start looking to.
I'll give you also another interesting factoid about Steven Ward. The official game, if you go by like how you could sort the players when you're on the transfer window. If you go to, they have a value. Where is it? Value. Where'd it go? They have a value. Just trust me.
Okay.
They have, I believe it, yeah, it's a value. Where is it? Yeah, it's definitely a value.
Yeah, value the, season or value form.
Yeah. So basically, according to the official game's metric of scoring, Steven Ward is the highest return on dollar investment in the official game to date.
Yeah.
He started the season at 4.5, and he's returned 4.6 over his investment. So he's returning you basically the price of a 9.1 player.
Wow. Didn't even know that. Look at that. So yeah, Steven Ward, be about it. Don't talk about it, be about it. That's what I say. Did bring him in personally myself because I couldn't talk this much about him. And not also of note, I don't trust Southampton right now. I don't know how you feel, Rob. But Cedric could be interesting. Cheaper than Van Dijk and, I almost said Charlie Daniels, and Ryan Bertrand. And leads the league in crosses from the right flank, even though he's a defender. So if you think they're going to turn things around, he could be an interesting guy. Hopefully I stole one of yours at the death there.
No, you did.
Who do you
did
have as your starts and sits?
Starting on defense, I'm gonna stick it with the guy doing the most crosses and eventually getting on the end of the tally sheet. I'll go with Aaron Cresswell with West Ham.
Yeah.
I know you said Burnley, you know, for the defense, but you know, I think matchup wise, this game is gonna be zeros. I think it could be a 0-0 match, and I think both teams would be completely happy with that. Aaron Cresswell still leads the league in crosses as a wide defender. One of these games, he's going to luck onto the end of a header or, you know, do something that accumulates some kind of fantasy points. At 5.0, he's not an all-time investment, but he's a minimal investment compared to some of the prices that are being thrown around for the bigger clubs. So the other defenses I like this week, I don't completely trust Southampton, but I could see them blanking. That's another game that looks like a zero fest, you know, them with Newcastle, Spurs and Chelsea, obviously. Through the midfield, listen, now's the time to analyze your roster. And are you really in love with Henrik Mkhitaryan? Are you really in love with Christian Eriksen? I think now is the time to make that decision to go buy Alexis Sanchez. Mm. Now is the time to buy Alexis Sanchez. I know he's coming off of the international break where he may be a little bit tired. He does have a game, you know, tonight or yesterday if you're listening to it. But at 11.9, Alexis is never going to be any cheaper than this. I said the same statement a couple weeks ago with Virgil van Dijk when he's still 5.4, but his price is probably going to go up before game time. And we saw what game Virgil van Dijk played. Yes, he didn't get the FPL returns that you want to see. I believe he only got 2 points. But if you look at the draft scoring and the DFS scoring that he had like 18 points in that game because he was basically all over the map and basically was the man of the match for defenders. And I believe they just tied the game. So, you know, this is the cheapest Alexis is going to be. He's 11.9. He's only owned in like 2.5% of leagues. Those are the lowest numbers it's going to be all year. This is the time where I wanted to touch on this in the questions, but you know, I kind of bypassed it over for other questions that maybe were more pertinent, but I think now is the time to, with Aguero out, with Lukaku's ownership just completely way out of control still in the mid-50s, is it really time to continue with the power three, or do you go with a power two and a good point guard in the midfield with Alexis Sanchez being 11.9? Mm-hmm. There's no way to have a power three and Alexis Sanchez. There's just no way to do it. I don't think you could feasibly do it and actually have...
And end up with a decent team, yeah.
Yeah, decent team where you're rosterable.
Well, just have punts at like three midfield positions.
You'd have two midfield punts and two defensive punts, and that's just awful strategy. I don't even think you could do it then. I think you'd have to have three punts in midfield because you need to save so much of the quan. But I think now is the time to buy Alexis Sanchez. Their next couple fixtures are comfortable enough that you can rely on. At Watford, at Everton, home to Swansea, no breaks. They play a Europa game in there, but he may sit, may play. It doesn't matter. Alexis Sanchez is never going to be any cheaper. That's the point I'm trying to nail across here. So go get him now. Be first on your block to own Alexis, and you could flaunt it all over. On to my forward. I'm sticking with Jamie Vardy. I know I've said him a couple times in the past couple weeks, but listen, Leicester, I still like Jamie Vardy because his fixtures are still in Jamie Vardy's and Leicester's favor. They're home to West Brom. They're at Swansea. They're home to Everton, and they're at Stoke. Swansea hasn't kept a clean sheet all year at home, so we'll just bypass that and go right into my sits because it's Frederico Fernandez because Swansea still hasn't kept a clean sheet at home. But going back to Jamie Vardy, West Brom, Swansea, Everton, at Stoke, those are the next four games. Leicester doesn't play any other fixtures besides these games. Jamie Vardy at 8.6 currently is still a bargain. He is the guy that if you want to match up with a power guy, you want to match him up with Lukaku, you want to match him up with Jesus, you want to match him up with Lacazette, you want to match him up with Kane, pick one of those four, match him up with Vardy, pick a punt, and go get Alexis in the midfield. If you have two free transfers, cool, it's easier. If you don't have two free transfers, well, it's going to cost you points to get there, or if you have a wild card, you could do it that way. But I think that Jamie Vardy is the perfect complementary forward for the next 4 weeks to any one of the big-name strikers that you feel fit to roster. Mm. So going on to my sits, I already mentioned it's Frederico Fernandez. Swansea hasn't clept a clean sheet at home. Avoid the Swans this week. Midfield, I am punting Henrik Mkhitaryan. I think the time for him is gone. I think that losing Fellaini is going to take away a little bit of the United midfield, and it's going to take a game or two for Herrera or, you know, Carrick or whoever they decide to put in there to mold together. And I think Mkhitaryan is trending downwards anyway. I know his ownership has dictated that a little bit. He's gone down almost, I think, the last 2 weeks because of returns. So, I mean, listen, you want returns at 8.5. You can't just sit there and wait for him to be like, okay, this is the week. Okay, this is the week. Okay, this is the week. You're basically, out of your starting roster, 8.5 is almost 10% of your startable roster because of the four bench spots. You want 10% of your roster being useless? No, Henrik Mkhitaryan is a sell. My other sell, my forward, Roberto Firmino. I am so limbo low on Bobby Digital right now, I can't even tell you. The loss of Mane just completely just nukes Roberto Firmino. Now watch, he's probably going to come out and score, and that's fantastic because if anybody's listened to this podcast before, I love me some Bobby Digital. I love him. I love him. 8.5 price, 21.6% owned. That is a crazy high amount for a guy who hasn't done anything since week three.
Yeah,
Kevin, I am kicking it to you for your sin.
Yeah, the Firmino thing I think is such an interesting one because obviously he's been a huge disappointment as a forward, and that was one of the arguments for why he'd be so valuable this year. Mm-hmm. It's because starting at the front of a team that currently
he looked like
has
such a bargain. He yeah, looks like such a bargain.
He is, and they currently lead the league in chances created. Liverpool do. So mm-hmm. in theory, he should have been better, but he was really good last year at times from the wing because there's reduced pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance he ends up being more valuable in his actual position. But agree with you that it, in theory, it's a bad one. And this is not the week to play that game, especially against United. But, you know, just kind of keep an eye on him because it may seem counterintuitive that he has more value being not a striker, especially listed as a forward. But you may start at least seeing those returns a little bit more and more. But for me, for sits, up front, I'm going to go with I'm just gonna cop out of this. I'm gonna be honest because I have somebody listed. Feels a little harsh. It felt a little forced when I was doing it. So
now we want to know who it is.
No, don't worry about it. There have been so many injuries at this position. I'm kind of fine with just using any of the players you still have, waiting to see what happens. Like I said, Aguero's already back in like training. Like, what if he comes back by next week and you've already forced off a player just to bring somebody, like maybe use your fifth midfielder this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a super cop out. But genuinely, like, don't feel forced into a move. I mean, even Chelsea are saying Morata could just be a week or two. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. This is a weird moment for me on the show because I usually kind of stick to my notes. But yeah.
Now I want to inquiring minds. I want to know who you were gonna bash.
Do you? Well, it was going to be either Jesus or Firmino. I have them both written down. But that feels here, harsh.
Trash Firmino. Look at Liverpool's upcoming schedules here. Yeah. I know Liverpool is going to score goals. But look at their upcoming fixtures. United, Spurs, Huddersfield, West Ham, which has been playing better at home and defensively, Southampton, and Chelsea. Those are their next six fixtures.
Four of those are top five defenses.
Yeah. And Huddersfield is just outside of that.
No, Huddersfield's in it.
I mean, I'm sorry, West Ham. West Ham is just on the outside of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those are the next six fixtures. Those are not easy fixtures. And they have three Champions League games during that stretch.
Yeah.
And they're without Sadio Mane for all of them.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, fine. You talked me into it. Screw Firmino.
Yeah, see?
In midfield, you took mine, but it's fine because I do it to you constantly. Mkhitaryan not showing up in either creative or shooting metrics anymore. Instincts, again, this is like an instinct versus stats thing. Mm-hmm. In theory, he should not struggle against Liverpool's defense, which is just not good at the end of the day. If it's Alberto Moreno, he gets forward a lot, which should open the door a lot for Mkhitaryan. If it's James Milner, Mkhitaryan's pace will obviously undo him. But man, yeah, I agree with you. I don't have a great feeling about him. But like I said, I was fine hanging on to Mkhitaryan this week because the matchup in theory is fine, and it gives me one more week to see on Alexis versus Hazard. Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody else and you're wanting to shift off of him, you know, feel free because it isn't very encouraging. In defense, it's West Brom. You mentioned how much you like Jamie Vardy. He is still in my team as well. West Brom just are doing that annoying West Brom thing again, where it looks like they're going to be fine throughout matches and then just blow it at the end, which is really disappointing. They had two clean sheets the first 2 weeks, only one since then. And it was against West Ham in a super interesting 0-0 draw. That was so sarcastic for those that can't pick up those kinds of things. So yeah, anybody that still has these West Brom guys, like Hagazi is still owned in 26.1% of teams. He's 0.3 more expensive than Ward, who we, you know, waxed poetic about earlier. Just ridiculous. Just stop that.
And by the way, you ever looked up Hagazi on a spelling? Some places spell his name with a Y.
Yeah.
Some places spell with an I.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the Hagazi thing. He's listed as an I, I think, on the official one, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's a Y for goal, and I think for Opta as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Also, basically just roll with Opta. Whatever they say, just accept it into your heart and move on. All right, so on to our teams. I made a double move this week because I had been one of those Aguero holders on. Needed to climb my way up to Kane. I had 1.2 left in the bank and couldn't do it, which is annoying. But the way I got there is I brought in Ward in defense. Mm-hmm. I dropped down from Bertrand, who had been doing very little for me. Although, as we said, the matchup's going to get a little bit better for Southampton. But Burnley's not bad by any stretch. So I did a double shift of injured Aguero and a meh Bertrand for a Harry Kane and a Stephen Ward.
Yeah. I love it when moves work out that way and you're like, yes, I'm acquiring a guy that has a blue a star.
Yeah. Oh, and I have 0.0 in the bank now. Like, it only worked perfectly, which in theory is bad because you want to have a little bit left over in your transfer. But for it to have worked perfectly, it's like getting the gas pump to stop at evens.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, this is nice.
Yeah. I didn't have to worry about doing Stephen Ward because I already owned him for 3 weeks. But,
you hear that
noise? It's me patting myself on the back. So my move was, I did it two weeks ago. As soon as Morata came out of the game, I went from Morata to Jesus based on the Aguero injury. Mm-hmm. So that is my move. My team has a couple flags right now. Phil Jones has a flag. Matt Ritchie has a flag. I wouldn't need either of those guys to play to form a team, but they would sure help if they did play. Interesting enough, Lukaku lost his today. So if anybody pays attention to those little, the stop signs or the exclamation points, Lukaku lost his. But I mean, if I need to make another move, if the news on Friday is not conducive for me believing that Phil Jones or Matt Ritchie will play, then I could make it either move that way. I have 0.7 in the bank, so I can pretty much go anywhere on defense. And if I wanted to move down in midfield, I could do that as well. I'm happy with my team right now. I have Fabianski and Elliott in goal. Kieran Clark, Ben Davis, Jones, Ward, Fernandez on defense. Yes, I said Fernandez. Matt Ritchie, David Silva, Eriksen, Punt, Andy King, and Mkhitaryan in midfield. Jamie Vardy, Jesus, and Lukaku up top. I would love to change Lukaku to Kane, but it would cost me Mkhitaryan to somewhere in the Shaqiri range to make sense, because there's nobody in that. I said it a couple weeks ago. If anybody was paying attention, there really isn't anybody below Raheem Sterling at 7.9 to that 6.0 price point that you really can trust as a midfielder. That you're like, all right, he's going to give me consistent enough returns at his price to warrant him going. It basically goes from Raheem Sterling to Richarlison is the gap, is basically what it is, which is a sad state of affairs in midfield. Because if you look at some of the names that are involved in that price point, it's not pretty at all. Aaron Ramsey, maybe if you trust in Anthony Martial, don't. But the names there are just not fantasy conducive to, but it's funny. You want to know something funny, Kev? I saw an interesting stat on Anthony Martial compared to Eden Hazard since 2015-16, when they basically premiered, when Martial came over. In 1,000 less minutes, Anthony Martial has, I believe, 3 less goals and 4 less assists than Eden Hazard does in 1,000 less minutes.
Wow.
Which is crazy to think about, because Hazard is usually associated with, fantasy goodness.
Well, but, I think he's always been associated with real life goodness.
Yeah.
And then it's bled into fantasy. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, he's got 8. Martial has 18 goals and 14 assists since he's premiered in the Premier League. In 1,000 less minutes than Eden Hazard does.
I think it was 3 years ago that he came over.
Yeah, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Hazard during that same time. I'm just looking it up. It's bad radio, but I don't care. Hazard during that time has 21 goals and 13 assists. So it's like I said, it's basically he has Martial has about the same amount of assists and only 3 less goals in 1,000 less minutes than Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's crazy to think about, stuff. But it's true.
Yeah, I think a big miss for FPL and for me in particular as a Tottenham fan is that the Martial to Tottenham thing never came to light. Because you add him to that attack and it just would have been.
But then you wouldn't have Heung-min Son.
Yeah, but you already can't own Heung-min Son because he doesn't force his way into the 11.
But yeah, but then you wouldn't have this love, this unsung love and this dying love affair behind everyone's back and my back for Heung-min Son.
True. So my team as it'll look this week, Fabianski in goal, Kieran Clark, Zonka, and Ward at the back. feeling really confident about that Zonka one. I know people have started shifting off already. I think I lost a point. I think he got up to 4-7 at one point. But only one clean sheet out of the last 4 matches. But up against Swansea with the fewest chances created and shots on target. Feeling a lot better about that. This is just one of those weeks where, like we mentioned earlier, your big guys, you just basically roll out every week. Sometimes it's bad, like it was for me last week. Some weeks it's good, like this week, where you have McTiernan against Liverpool, Eriksen against Bournemouth, Silva against Stoke. This is the last week for Robbie Brady in my team, I think. It just depends on what happens with Brady and McTiernan. Brady's still sending in crosses. It's just, will somebody put them into the back of the net?
They don't do enough offensively.
That's true. And then up front, Kane against Bournemouth, Lukaku against Liverpool, Vardy against West Brom. West Brom love to set up to defend. Vardy loves to face teams that are pressing higher up the pitch. Will be a really interesting one there. For me, captain choice, I brought in Kane up against Bournemouth. Was at that match last year at White Hart Lane when Kane scored against them. He's just one of those players that feels like he has a good record against Bournemouth since they came up, and they obviously are not really impressing this year defensively. So Captain Kane for me this week. Who you got with that C around him, man?
The City-Stoke matchup is looking tasty. I don't think Stoke can keep him off the board. I hope they can't keep him off the board in multiples. I own 2, Silva and Jesus. It's probably looking like some of them.
That's interesting. Would you rather take the high floor of Silva, knowing he'll probably get an assist, so you might be getting at least 8 points? Or would you gamble on the home run ball with Jesus, who has had multiple matches with both a goal and assist?
Well, Jesus has a goal or an assist in his last 4 games played. So, I mean, he's pretty consistent. He just missed a game in there because he didn't play against Crystal Palace. But he does have 4 goals and an assist in his last 5 games total. It's going to be tough. It's going to be one of those, I'm going to wait to hear the news to make sure everybody's playing. And then I'll probably make a decision, but it's probably leaning someone from the City. You know, I think Lukaku is probably going to be narrowed down because they're playing Liverpool. People don't like the captain players against bigger teams. Your Kane shout out is great. I think Eriksen could be a small captainal differential there because I think that people are going to, most like you just said about David Silva, I think Eriksen pretty much applies and checks all the same boxes. And for an obtuse thing, I mean, I could just go crazy and go Jamie Vardy because I am just on the Jamie Vardy Gatorade, you know. I'm dumping it all over my body right now.
Nice. Also, on Eriksen, I know you mentioned him in the, is it time to get rid of him? I think he has a little bit more leeway than Mkhitaryan. Worth noting, Eriksen, the best shot accuracy percentage with 77%. Mm-hmm. So, in theory, some of those should start going in.
The only reason to get rid of Eriksen is if you can't afford to get up to Alexis.
To like Alexis or Kane, if you need to move up that
Kane,
way.
Kane, or you know, if you have an inkling for Hazard. You know. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP, or you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yep. And I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter. You can find my fantasy writings over at Goal.com under the gaming tab, of course. We also have DFS shows with Fantrax and VIPBet.com, so be sure to check both of them out. And if you're interested in the Premier League as the whole or the Championship, we have both the EPL Roundtable and the Championship Roundtable, so click on those you're already near it on iTunes because it's all under the same feed. So if you're interested in that.
Don't be lazy.
Yeah, don't be lazy. Come on now. What you doing over there, over here? And on that weird accent, we will bid you adieu. Good luck on your teams this week, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.